You can listen to Issues Etc. live and on demand with the new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. You can get these apps at our website, issuesetc.org. Give us a call, send us an email, or follow us on Facebook or Twitter. Issues Etc. in the palm of your hand. The new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. Download today at issuesetc.org. There's an app for that.
You have a right to pray, of course. You have a right to worship. Freedom of religion is critical, but freedom for a church to take over a school and convert it into a house of worship is not what our Constitution stands for.
That's Donna Lieberman. She's executive director of the New York Civil Liberties Union. The city of New York has decided that by, February the 12th, over 50 churches that are currently on Sunday morning meeting in public schools, classrooms, auditoriums, things like that, because they don't have property of their own, a building of their own, they have to be out. They say it's a violation of the separation of church and state that these churches that had been renting or leasing space in public school auditoriums and classrooms, it simply is going too far. Donna Lieberman says you can't convert a public space, a public school space, into a house of worship, and that's what they're doing. And so by February 12th, these churches need to be out. Now, we're going to hear a story from NPR, a church that's actually their Grace Fellowship, one of those 53 estimated churches in New York City that are worshiping in public school space on the weekend. They've already made other plans, but I have a question for you. Is it really a violation of the separation of church and state? All over the country, churches usually new churches, mission churches, they're starting up. They don't have property. They can't afford it yet. They don't have a building. They can't afford it yet. But a local public school, a library, some kind of public space will let them, because it's not being used on the weekend, you know, especially Sunday morning, will let them use their space. Is there anything wrong with that? And a bigger question for me after we hear the story from National Public Radio is, the church's solution to this is to continue to lease the space, but they're not going to hold worship services anymore. They're going to meet there. They're going to pray. They're going to sing hymns. They're going to teach Bible class, but they're not going to do worship there anymore. What do you make of that solution? I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. We're coming to you live this Tuesday afternoon, the 7th of February. Some audio open lines in the first half hour of the program. We'll play that National Public Radio story for you and get your reaction. You can send us your email. You can give us a call. You can ask a question or make a comment during audio open lines on this story. 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Send us an email right here in the studio, talkback at issuesetc.org. A tweet at IssuesETC, or you can leave your question or comment at our Facebook fan page. We've left space for you to do so on the story of a church, the churches in New York City being kicked out of the public spaces they've been using for worship on Sunday morning. Facebook.com/IssuesETC. A little bit later in this first hour, Deaconess Pam Nielsen joins us. We'll be teaching a Sunday school lesson. One of my favorite Bible stories, hands down. Jesus heals Jairus' daughter in Mark chapter 5. We'll be there in about a half hour here on Issues Etc. In the second hour of the program, Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse joins us from the Ruth Institute. You have heard the news. It came out about midday today. The California same-sex marriage ban called Prop 8 was ruled unconstitutional by a federal appeals panel. And the people in favor of same-sex marriage in California are cheering. We'll see what Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse has to say about that. A little bit later, Molly Ziegler-Hemingway will be our guest. We'll talk about the media coverage of the Susan G. Komen fiasco and foundation. Of course, one of their board members, I believe, has decided to step down in protest of the reversal of the decision to fund Planned Parenthood. Molly Ziegler-Hemingway of GetReligion.org will be our guest. And then we're going to start a series, part one of a three-part series, on pastors and elders with the author of our Issues Etc., Book of the Month, for February, Pastor Timothy Meck, in the last half hour of Issues Etc. It's audio open lines, 1-877-623-6943. Our in-studio email address, talkback at issuesetc.org. Our Twitter address, at issuesetc. Or our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Here's the story from National Public Radio. Listen carefully, and I want your answer to this question. Is it a violation of separation of church and state for churches to worship in public school spaces on the weekend? They pay rent. They don't mess things up. In fact, they often keep the place neater than when they left it. Or this question, the church has decided since they can't do worship there, that's what New York City says, they're just not going to do worship there. They'll do everything but worship there. What do you make of that solution for the church? 1-877-623-6943. Talk back at issuesetc.org or facebook.com/issuesetc.
To New York City now, where small churches have been meeting in public schools for years. Some want cheap rental space. Others are part of a church planting movement. The idea is to plant congregations in unconventional settings to attract potential members. Last year, a federal court ruled that these school gatherings violate separation of church and state laws. And as Fred Mogul from member station WNYC reports, the congregations now have 1 week left to vacate.
Nothing has the power to say. For the past 6 years, Grace Fellowship Church has been meeting on Sundays in the auditorium of PS 150 in Queens. It looks like a lot of assembly halls in old red brick schools, with wooden seats, terrazzo floors, and murals depicting scenes of art and culture. When Rob Powers first started coming to Grace Fellowship, he felt a little bit like he was back in elementary school.
It was a little odd, but, I mean, it's New York City, so you get used to stuff quickly.
He says the non-traditional setting is part of the appeal.
To me, the style of worship service is a big deal, so I'm not really into the huge congregation where you just blend in. So it is nice to have a smaller family-style worship.
That's part of the appeal for these churches. Some of them do it out of financial necessity. You probably know of a congregation like this anywhere near you. Because of financial necessity, since they don't have property or a building, they need public space. They need it cheap, and they only need it for a couple hours on Sunday morning. So they go to the local public school, they go to the library, they go to other spaces, and they say, can we use it? And usually it's all worked out fine, unless you're in New York City, in which case, if you're one of the estimated 53 churches doing this, by next Sunday, you got to be out. You can't be using that public space, at least not for worship. Is this a violation of the separation of church and state to have a church meeting in a public school space? 1-877-623-6943. Talk back at issuesetc.org. We're coming to you live this Tuesday afternoon, February the 7th. Is it a violation of the separation of church and state? You can also leave your answer to our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Now, this church is doing it because they want to attract someone who wouldn't normally darken the doors of a church building. They will go to a public school. It doesn't look like church, and so they're using it as a way to reach out. But New York says, not if you're going to worship there on Sunday mornings.
As of last year, there were about 160 churches meeting in city schools. It's not clear how many still are. New York City has been trying to evict the churches for well over a decade. The city prevailed last year when a federal appeals court defined what kind of religious groups can meet in schools and what kind can't.
You have a right to pray, of course. You have a right to worship. Freedom of religion is critical.
Donna Lieberman leads the New York Civil Liberties Union, which joined New York City in the lawsuit.
But freedom for a church to take over a school and convert it into a house of worship is not what our Constitution stands for.
The churches argue they're not taking over schools and they're not trying to convert anyone, a claim the NYCLU challenges. The U.S. Supreme Court has said religious clubs can meet in schools for Bible study, prayer, and other explicitly religious activities, yet the High Court also accepted the appeals court decision that formal worship services are different than club activities.
Now, there's certainly something to this because we're talking about a complex of issues here, aren't we? We're talking about, school clubs, not necessarily sponsored by the school, but that are held on school time, on school property by students, student-led prayer groups, things like that. That usually has a pretty firm footing where they say we want to use classroom 205 to have a prayer group, a Christian prayer group, or a Muslim prayer group for that matter. And usually that doesn't cause much of a ruckus. But the court says worship services are different. You can't use our space, public space, for worship services. What do you make of that? 1-877-623-6943. Talk back at issuesetc.org or facebook.com/issuesetc. Let's hear the rest of the story from National Public Radio.
And violate the separation of church and state. Back at PS150, Grace Fellowship congregants are eating pizza in the school cafeteria after services. Pastor John Stork says the church has helped build and repair things at the school, and both sides benefit from the church's presence there. He's applied to the city for a new permit to rent space for the activities that are allowed.
The court's not banning prayer and religious instruction and singing hymns. They're just banning that in the context of a worship service. So we would stop having church worship, but come together and eat together. We probably have basically a Sunday school class.
The city Department of Education wouldn't comment on Grace Fellowship's application. The church has a temporary place to worship after next Sunday, but members are praying there'll be a way for them to stay in school. For NPR News, I'm Fred Mogul in New York.
All right, that's the story from National Public Radio. I want your answer to the question, do you think it is, as the court has been ruling in New York and as the city has been arguing and as the New York Civil Liberties Union has been arguing, a violation of the separation of church and state for churches to worship, not hold clubs, not hold prayer groups, not even hold classes, but to worship, to convert space in a public school building for worship, even if only for an hour on Sunday morning, and the estimated 100 or so have to go by February 12th. There's only 53 officially listed in New York City, but the listing is not very accurate. What do you make of it? Is it a violation of the separation of church and state? This break is a great time to give us a call, 1-877-623-6943. Or send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org. Visit our Facebook fan page, leave a comment there, facebook.com/issuesetc. What do you make of the pastor's solution here? We just won't worship there anymore. We'll do everything but worship on Sunday morning. More audio open lines on this Tuesday afternoon after this. How does Jesus' incarnation provide us with a response to religious relativism? Find out in an article that I've written for the Latest Issues Etc. journal. It's titled God in a Box, and we'll send it to you for free. Just send an email to journal@issuesetc.org. You can also read about Pastor Michael Schuerman's journey from moralistic therapeutic deism to the rock-solid theology of the Reformation. The online Issues Etc. journal, journal@issuesetc.org.
Here are two new ways that you can promote Issues Etc. The Issues Etc. business card and the Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer. Simply go to the support page at issuesetc.org, click Issues Etc. business cards, print the page on suitable stock paper, and cut along the lines. We also have an 8.5 by 11 inch flyer for the bulletin board at your church. issuesetc.org, go to the support page, click Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer, and print.
Smartest listeners in radio, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Apostles Lutheran Church is in Melrose Park, Illinois. We invite you to our divine service, which is held every Sunday at 9:15. Please contact us at 847-455-0903 or check out our website at apostlesmelrosepark.org. We are located just south of O'Hare Airport, where airplanes are continually going up. Here at Apostles, we glory in the one who on the cross was lifted up for the sins of the world.
You can listen to Issues Etc. live and on demand with the new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. You can get these apps at our website, issuesetc.org. Give us a call, send us an email, or follow us on Facebook or Twitter. Issues Etc. in the palm of your hand. The new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. Download today at issuesetc.org.
There's an app for that.
The court's not banning prayer and religious instruction and singing hymns. They're just banning that in the context of a worship service. So we would stop having church worship, but come together and eat together. We probably have basically a Sunday school class.
That's Pastor John Stork the pastor of Grace Fellowship. They meet in New York City at New York PS 150. They've been told by the city and by the courts that they need to be out by the 12th if they're holding worship services. His solution is, well, I don't know if he's trying to get around the definition of worship, because it doesn't sound like the court has actually defined worship. They've just said, if you're worshiping there, if you're converting space for worship, even if for 1 hour on Sunday morning in a public space, a public school in this case, an auditorium, you can't do that anymore. You got to get out and find a different space. So he says, we just won't worship anymore. We'll sing hymns, we'll teach Bible class, we'll pray, but we just won't do it in the context of a worship service. Is that a good solution? Is that a good compromise for a congregation to make that's been told they can't use public space to hold worship services on Sunday morning, whereas I think it's been kind of the handshake agreement? Obviously, a lot of these people will pay rent or do some kind of service on the property in order to use that space for an hour or two on Sunday morning. It's kind of been, up to this point, something people didn't get worried about. I know of, off the top of my head, 1, 2, 3, 4 churches that are meeting in public space, in a public school or in a library or something like that. What about you? 1-877-623-6943. Does it violate the separation of church and state? And what do you think of the pastor's solution there in New York? If they don't want us to worship, fine, we won't worship. We'll do everything but worship. 1-877-623-6943. Talk back at issuesetc.org. Or leave a question or a comment at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Paul in Alexandria, Virginia says, it's no violation of separation of church and state just so long as the facilities are equally available to all. And as far as we know, at least up until now, you could be Buddhist, you could be Hindu, you could be Christian, you could be anything you want. And if there's space available, you're willing to pay the price that is required, and the church isn't, the public space isn't being used for some other public purpose during that time, you can have your services there. There are Muslim mosques that meet in public schools too. They meet on Fridays, they convert the space, and then when they leave, they're gone. And it may be exactly the same space being used by a Christian church on Sunday morning. 1-877-623-6943. Talk back at issuesetc.org or our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Nicola says, if they pay rent, they can do what they please. The facilities must be available to anyone else who wants to rent them, though, and for the same price. Not renting the space on principle is silly, and so is renting it to certain groups for below a market rate. And I don't think the question is how much they're being charged or whether they're going to be charged more or less. I think the question is whether or not any religious group, including Christians, can worship in public space anytime there's available space in the public. So the rent is not the issue, but it's got to be fair. I mean, up to this point, that was the principle. It should be equally available to all, and that means not only the space available, but also whatever price you might charge them. That's kind of been the way it is until now in New York City, where regardless of your religion, you can't worship in public space, even if you're paying the rent. Bud is in Ontario, Canada. He says, so if the Christian religion isn't allowed to be in the schools, why is the atheist religion allowed to preach and try to gain converts of their doctrine of evolution? Well, it's a good point, Bud. You're right that perhaps the other 5 days of the week in the classroom, under the auspices of being neutral religiously, there is a religious viewpoint, or arguably a religious viewpoint in Darwinian evolution or atheism being supported, if not actively pushed, in the biology class. Now, until, I guess legally, until the courts decide that atheism is a religion, that's just going to have to be a point that you can make, but you can't necessarily prove. What about the rest of you? 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Let's see, Earl says, is praise songs and prayer with a lecture without the sacraments worship? Now that goes to the question of the pastor's solution here. The pastor's solution is, well, if they don't want us to worship, fine, we won't worship. We'll pray. We'll teach the Bible. We'll sing hymns. We'll even sit down and have a potluck. But we're not going to call it worship, and we won't do it in the context of a worship service. Is he being clever by saying, yeah, we'll just break it up and not do it as a formal announced worship service, but we'll still get the same end met? Or is he actually saying, well, if they don't want us to worship, we won't worship. We'll do everything we normally do except worship. Michael says in it's Indian Head, Maryland, if the worship service is during school hours, it should not be there. But we should all know that it is not the case that if a school is going to be open to the public for any event, it should be open to any public event, even churches. And that's what's being challenged here by the Civil Liberties Union in New York. Churches are different, and worship is different, and the court agrees. Do you? 1-877-623-6943. Our Facebook page, facebook.com/issuesETC. William listens in Dallas, Texas. He says, does this mean that Christians don't have to pay school taxes anymore? Well, Christians do find it sometimes burdensome, irksome, to pay taxes for public schools that they don't plan to use for their children. The principle is, I'm not going to use them. Why should I have to pay taxes for them? Well, look, I don't drive on every road in the state, but I still have to pay taxes that help support and maintain every road in the state. I only drive on probably less than 1% of the roads maintained by the state, but I still have to pay taxes as though I am free to use them all. And so Christians, even though they don't use public schools, still pay taxes to support public schools. And let's bear in mind, many Christians do use public schools, and they pay exactly the same amount of taxes as the ones who don't. 1-877-623-6943. Earl in Houston, Texas says, I'm sorry, I already read Earl's. I'm sorry about that. Catherine listens in Arkansas. She says, state-run schools should be abolished anyway. Communities and churches should just start their own schools based on whatever worldview they prefer. At least that would be transparent and honest instead of pretending to be neutral. I don't know that they're arguing neutrality. What they're arguing is, this is public space funded by the public. It should be used for public purposes. And if religious groups, and it's already been established by the Supreme Court that religious groups do serve public purposes, the issue here is worship. Whether or not churches should be allowed to worship there, which, at least at this point, the court is saying that doesn't serve the whole public. These other things may well be a public service on public property, but worship doesn't. And so if you're a church in New York City, you can do anything you want on public school as long as you're willing to pay rent, except worship. This is Mark in St. James, New York. He says, our mission, Concordia Lutheran Missions, meets in a public library. Ours is a movable tabernacle, a la the Israelites in the Exodus, every week. We pack up everything in totes and take it home, but I get the sense from the article that spaces have been converted, interesting choice of a word, for church. The question is, are the classroom spaces in the public schools being used as a semi-permanent worship area? Are the rooms being, from week to week, being kept complete with a cross, a pulpit, signs? If that is so, there might be a legitimate question about the rightful separation of church and state. I honestly don't know the answer to that question. Going from the pictures that National Public Radio had spaced up there, it looks as though it's a totally temporary thing. Let's see what Jeremiah in New Orleans has to say. He's waiting on the line. Jeremiah, thanks for waiting.
Hi, Pastor. I was calling in just, I was thinking about a few years ago, growing up in my home district, the oldest LCMS congregation in the area, their church actually burned down. And until they were able to replace the building, they actually were meeting and worshiping in the town fire station for a few years. I remember attending a Thanksgiving worship service there. So I know that this is the type of ruling that, you know, doesn't impact churches that are looking to start up worship in a different location, but sometimes those that are forced to relocate for other, you know, purposes. So I asked that, hearing this issue kind of sparked some of that for me. The reflections on that.
Jeremiah, thank you very much. Thanks for listening in New Orleans. See, this is the kind of hand-in-glove relationship that Christians have become accustomed to culturally. And 10 years ago, 25 years ago, especially the farther you go back, this kind of accommodation between the church and the public space was considered just kind of the way you hold a community together. You want to use the space? Fine. We're not using it. The gym is open on Sunday morning. Just lock up and make sure it's clean. And don't leave your altar or your cross out or any of your banners hanging up. And it's fine. It may have just been done on a handshake. Here's something we need to bear in mind. We have developed as Christians a bit of a Pollyannish attitude about our place in this or any culture. And I don't think the solution is, well, if you won't let us use your public space for worship, we just won't worship. That's unacceptable. The church is built to worship. So you got to find some place where you will be allowed to worship, no matter the cost. You can't give up what it is the church is actually designed to do, to worship the true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. When we come back, Deaconess Pam Nielsen will join us. We're going to be talking about the healing of Jairus' daughter. Thanks for supporting the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. through the charitable grant program Thrivent Choice. We received more than $15,000 last year through Thrivent Choice. Our goal this year is to raise more than $20,000 through Thrivent Choice. For more information on how you can designate funds to Lutheran Public Radio, look for the Thrivent logo under the donate page at issuesetc.org. Please support Issues Etc. in 2012 with Thrivent Choice.
Here are two new ways to stay connected to Issues Etc., Facebook and Twitter. You'll find photos of in-studio guests at facebook.com/issuesetc, and you'll find a list of upcoming topics and guests on Twitter at issuesetc. Social networking for the thinking Christian, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc. Connect with fellow Issues Etc. junkies today, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc.
Theology for Blue Collar, White Collar, and Clerical Collar. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Earlier, I told you about Monique and Johnny Sade, who were expecting a baby with trisomy 18. The condition usually isn't compatible with life. I requested prayers for little Sophia and her family. Here's an update. Sophie is about 2 weeks old and is doing great, despite some miscommunications in the hospital during birth. Sophia's middle name is Grace, because God poured out His amazing grace on the family. She's had no breathing or heart issues and no club foot, even though a sonogram indicated one 4 weeks earlier. Sophia and the family still have some challenges before them, so please keep the prayers going. If you'd like to see baby pictures, including the whole family, visit today's broadcast link at lifeissues.org. We thank God for this precious gift of life.
Life Issues. Stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.